Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here and we'll be right back.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Watchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great. And yourself?
I'm good.
You know what I was noticing right as I was sitting here waiting for us to begin? Just such a very short time ago when we started this show. Now, of course, we're in California, so that's, you know, Pacific Standard Time. But it would be dark when we would start this show. Now, of course, if you're, you know, in Georgia, it's always. I don't know. I guess probably in July it's not, is it? But it's so wonderful that it's now light.
Yes.
We begin our show, the sun is still up. It's just the spring is in the air. I'm very excited by this.
Yes. Yes, me too.
Yeah.
It just kind of cycles around, doesn't it?
Yeah. Kind of a year after year sort of a thing, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But yes. It's always thrilling. It's like being in the moment. You know, it doesn't matter how many times it's happened. When you're there, it's brand new and gorgeous.
That's my experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's my experience. And if I'm not paying attention, they just kind of cycle by.
Yeah. Yeah. Life is gorgeous. It's just that we miss it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not, you know, I mean, I bet you know, I'm in a doing an email class right now. Probably you are doing an email class right now.
I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, one of the things that we run into always in doing practice with people is how very unhappy an awful lot of people are, how much suffering there is in the world. And the assumption, what we're conditioned to believe is that that's how life is. You know, even the way what the Buddha taught is often translated, life is suffering. And so we just think, well, you know, I'm suffering. Okay, well, that's just how life is. You know, it's just hard. Life is hard, and unhappiness is just the kind of the human condition, and once in a while something good happens and then we feel happy for a while, but you know, it's not going to go well. It's going to end in old age, sickness, and death. So let's face it, you know, there's not a lot of good news. And none of that is true. I mean, the old age, sickness, and death, yes, if we live long enough. But does that make life an unhappy proposition? No, it doesn't. So being so immersed in the class, you know, just over and over and over, having that view into people's minds and the world that they live in, and, you know, hearing the kinds of things the voices say to them and what they believe, and just the struggle, and to realize that that is not how life is, that's how we are, because that's the reality we've been taught to believe is true.
Yes.
And it's not. It's and so I was writing to somebody at some point, you know, if life really was a miserable, hard, painful, struggle in which there's something wrong and not enough, and the something wrong and not enough is me, the voices would not have to work so hard to convince people that that's what's so.
Uh-huh.
You see? Because left to ourselves, if we're left to ourselves, if we slip into quiet, for even a few seconds, the relief is so startling for people that it, you know, that, oh my gosh, it doesn't, I don't have to live in this onslaught, this barrage of negativity. The relief of that, the peace of being in that is just, it's so extraordinary. It's so compelling that most people will want to pursue that.
Uh-huh.
And so conditioned mind is just on this, you know, just nonstop, around the clock, waking and sleeping campaign to convince people that life is hard and there's something wrong and there's not enough and it's not going to work and it never has, and you know, you're just doomed and why don't you give up, and just it's very sad and so, to me, so important for us to stick together and remind one another that it's not true. Just because it's like politics. Just because it's being repeated over and over and over and over doesn't mean it's true. It just means it's being repeated over and over.
Yes. Yeah.
So, that's what I've been looking at, Michael.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That's great.
Yeah. It's kind of in my job description, so it is good that I do spend my time looking at these things.
Yes. Yes. And I was thinking, too, as you mentioned, the first noble truth. There's three other noble truths.
Yes.
Which is exactly what you were pointing at.
Yeah. And, you know, so many people forget that. Like when, you know, one of our books is titled Suffering is Optional, and I've had a lot of Buddhists come at me over that. You know, how can you say that? Life is suffering. But what the Buddha taught is that it is possible to end suffering.
Yeah.
He didn't say life is suffering, you're stuck there. Learn to deal.
Yes.
What he said was, there's a reason for this. There's a way that it happens, and there's a way out of it, which is practice. And anybody who wants to stop suffering can do that, because suffering is not a given. Suffering is something that we do. It's something. So in this email class, you know, Creating the Universe, one of the questions that we ask people over and over is about creating and maintaining the universe that you live in. You know, what does this conversation in your head tell you about the universe that's being created and maintained? And that's the whole point. You know, that there's, it's a process. It's, we have to create and maintain suffering on a moment by moment basis. If we do not create and maintain it, it is not there.
Yes.
And that is nothing short of miraculous.
Yes.
You want to talk about the good news. Now that is the good news.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's my experience.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking as you were talking, you mentioned practice. You know, and for me, doing this radio show is a great practice.
Yes.
Because if I'm going up into that conversation, I'm going to miss something, and it's going to be obvious.
To a whole lot of people.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Or when you facilitate.
Absolutely.
You facilitate a group. You're there.
Yes.
You're not going to drift off into some conversation about everything you've ever done wrong in your life and how nothing is going to work in your future. You know, that's
right.
Just, I'm not going to indulge that when I'm facilitating.
Yes.
I want to be here because it's going to be obvious. Somebody's going to stop talking and I'm just going to be sitting there staring at them, having no idea what they said because I was lost in this conversation in my head about what's wrong with me or what's wrong with them or what's wrong with something. You know, I'm not going to do that. So once, you know, the great thing about practice, and especially the kind of practice that we're talking about, once you get it that you can not do that, well, then the question immediately follows, well, then why would I ever do it? You know, if I can drop that in order to be present when I'm facilitating or when I'm doing a radio show or, you know, whatever that is that really calls me to be present, if I can drop that conversation and be here for this, well, then I can drop that conversation and be here all the time.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Good news.
It is. It's just the best. Yeah.
And I have more good news.
What's that?
We have at least 3 callers.
Oh, that is good news for a call-in radio show, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I'd like to welcome Scott from Palo Alto. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hello there, Sherry.
How are you doing?
I'm great, and I'm very confused about something.
Uh-huh. What is that something?
Well, it goes something like this. So I've been doing some work for a client for the last couple of months, and yesterday they asked me to do something that as soon as I read the email about what they wanted me to do, I thought, oh no, this isn't, I felt like it was compromising the privacy of their customers.
Uh-huh.
By doing this. And I had
felt
wrong.
Out of integrity for you.
Yeah, there is some integrity line in my head, and it went way over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never actually experienced anything like this. In my line of work, I've never been asked to do something that I thought, no, I actually don't. I mean, you know, as I've been thinking about it, I've been thinking of examples in my head of things that are so clear cut to me that there's just, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a little bit more, it's a little bit more subtle, and yet I am noticing that there's 2 distinct lines of thought in my head. One is, no, I will not do this, nor will anyone else associated with my company do this.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, Scott, you're being very silly about this. This is not, you know, you know, Mercedes-Benz supplying automobiles to the Nazis or, you know, and lots of companies do this, and those companies have lots of customers. This is not that big of a deal.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel like I have a foot on the gas and a foot on the brake at the same time, and I'm having a lot of difficulty getting clarity about what is an appropriate way to both look at this and to handle this situation.
Yeah, because it's interesting, isn't it? The voice that's talking to you, I mean, there's the no, it sounds like, doesn't even take much of a voice, it's just no.
Right.
And then somebody else comes in and says, now you're being very silly. You're being silly about this, which is an interesting choice of words, right? It's that's something we say to a person when we want, this is all projection, but just see if you can relate to this. If I were to say that to somebody, it would first of all be patronizing.
Yep.
I would want them to know that this is a very unsophisticated, immature, really not grown-up way to be looking at things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then I would want to follow it up with an explanation that this is something that a lot of people do. You know, this is not really something that you're qualified to pass judgment on, because a lot of really sophisticated, savvy, bright, intelligent people are doing this. So really, who do you think you are to have that opinion?
You know, that hearing that reflected is just brilliant. Because that's, I mean, it doesn't, it's not as eloquent as that, but that is exactly the sentiment of that voice.
Uh-huh.
Is that, you know, people who are a lot smarter than you do this.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not coming at you as an equal. You know, Scott, you're wrong about this. And let me tell you, let me give you the logical, rational reasons for this. And once you see these logical, rational reasons, you will agree with me that this is the direction that we should go.
Right.
Yeah, it's pointing out how inferior you are to... It's, yeah.
Yes.
So just that.
Yes, that's it's exactly right. And you know, it's funny, because one of the things it's been saying is something that I heard you say. It's said, you know, Scott, with the ideal comes the actual.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're in a business, and, you know, you need to make money, and these guys are willing to pay you money, and... You know, you can't even give me a reason other than it just feels wrong
mm-hmm.
to not do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been, at, you know, at the same time paying attention to the voices, and then the other time I actually have to do something about this.
Right. At some point they're going to want a decision.
Yeah, at some point I actually need to decide to do this or not, and it needs to happen actually relatively soon.
Uh-huh.
So I've really been, I have really been amazed at the amount of chatter this has caused in my head.
Mm-hmm. And is most of it on the talking you into it side, most of the chatter?
I would say so, and it's funny, because I talked to my sister and my wife about this, and after I explained exactly what was going on, both of them said the same thing. They said, why are you even telling me this? You know you're not going to do it.
Mm.
I know you, and I know how you feel about this, and I know you're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. And is part of it... a concern about how you will be perceived by people who want you to do this, are willing to do this, have already gone through whatever process to rationalize this. It seems to me like there are two things. One, that that they could see you as naive and not a real serious, savvy player in the world of business, number
right.
one. Number two, in that same kind of tone that the voice was speaking to you in. And the other is that they will feel judged by you.
Well, it's funny. When you said that, the first thing that came up for me was, whoever said I was a serious, savvy player in the business world?
Uh-huh.
I've never actually saw myself like that. You know what actually... It's sort of coming up is there's a sense of that voice is calling me a prima donna, like well, you're on your high horse. I guess it is what you were saying, the second thing. It's sort of like, who are you to sit there and pass judgment on
yeah.
on these folks? Like who you know died and made you king?
Yeah, goody two shoes.
Right, exactly, like goody two-shoes.
Yeah, and is there an element of that? Anybody who wants to review your past for times that you have been out of integrity, or have they started that one yet?
No, but I'm watching the clock. I'm sure that will start soon.
Now, especially now that I've suggested it.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, that's sort of like this logical, like, who do you think, remember that time?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, and it's such an interesting place, isn't it? Because I would, I'm probably going to line up there with your sister and your wife, from the place of none of it actually matters. You don't want to do it. You don't feel right about it. You don't feel good about it. Doesn't have to make any comment at all about anybody else who does it. It might just be the best thing that ever happened to the world, and you don't feel good about it, and so it's not what you want to do.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. As I've been looking at this, I've been noticing that I've been getting really emotional, which is odd to me, because I tend to get anxious about work, but I don't tend to get caught up in tears.
Uh-huh.
And what's been coming up is, you know, I read the Daily Recollection every morning.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, one of the things that I read every morning is, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, and by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about that, I actually feel like I want to start crying.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like, hey, I read that every morning, and I want that to actually mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like by doing this, it's not, I'm reading the words, but I'm not actually living them.
Yeah.
And then there's a voice that steps in, and it just wants to take that all away from me.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to ask ourselves, well, now, why would anybody want to do that? Right? I mean, what kind of admirable motivation could there be for wanting to take away someone's sense of integrity or honor or that sort of thing?
Well, that's a really good place to look.
Yeah. Yeah, because even if you're wrong, it doesn't matter. You're not saying anything other than, right now, for me, where I am in my life, with what I can see, this doesn't feel good in my heart. And if I'm not choosing my heart, well, what in the world do I have?
This has been really, really helpful.
Good.
Thank you, Sherry.
Take care.
Hi. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye, Michael.
Thanks for joining us, Scott. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, you know what I love about this show?
What's that?
Things like integrity, honesty, compassion. We don't stay at the surface level. There's a real exploration in terms of what that is.
Yeah, and the thing when you say that, and Scott bringing up the guiding notions of our practice. If there's what we don't say is this is the right thing and that's the wrong thing.
Yep.
For ourselves or for anybody else.
Right.
It's just this is, yeah, as we were just saying, you know, this is what I see right now. This is,
yes,
this is what feels right for me right now. It doesn't mean it has to feel right for you. It doesn't mean if you choose something different that makes you a wrong person. I'm working out my own salvation diligently.
Yeah.
And this is what feels it's like the right thing for me right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
It's a great,
yeah,
practice.
Fascinating. It's always a privilege for me to hear people call in.
Mm-hmm.
We have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Poppy from England. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Poppy.
Hi.
How are you way across the great waters?
Oh, I'm good, thanks.
In the middle of the night.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, there's been lots of things going on, actually. I was supposed to be phoning back and reporting about my thing with self-image.
Uh-huh.
But actually, I noticed something quite recently that I thought it would be better to talk about while it's still fresh in my mind.
Uh-huh, good.
So,
it's always good to be current, isn't it?
Yeah, because with the self-image thing, it's always kind of there, so I never really forget about it. But with this, I thought, you know, it's worth talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 2 weeks ago, and I'll have to tell you a little the story, really, to
sure,
for you to get it. But there was this famous Hollywood actor who died about 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you heard about it.
Yes,
but,
I did.
And I was just studying for my master's GCSE. I don't know if you have GCSEs in America, but so I was just studying for maths, basically, and I was listening to the radio, and the news came on, and it said that this guy had died and everything. Mm. And my first reaction was that, because I liked this actor and his films and everything, and I was really sad, and I could feel myself starting to cry. So I was about to cry, and then I heard this voice really, really clearly say, only stupid people cry about celebrities. So
wow.
I didn't cry. And then really soon afterwards, I realized, aha, I see what you're doing here. Because I'd heard the voice, like, properly, and then I realized that there's been loads and loads of other times when I've been about to cry, and that voice has come in and said whatever it is about that thing, and basically that I can't cry for whatever reason, often because of being stupid. And my mum was there as well. so because I'd realized this really exciting thing, I really wanted to tell her, because we always kind of discuss that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then the voice came in again and said, if you start talking about it, you're going to cry about this actor, and then she'll know that you're stupid. So I couldn't tell her because I was going to start crying. So I thought, if I'm going to tell her, I need to cry. So I just said, Mum, I'm going to cry. And so I cried about it. And then I could tell her and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually cried about it quite a bit. And I thought, imagine if I hadn't realized and I hadn't cried, like, what would have been going on inside and everything.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It's so... amazing to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
And of course, we've been talking a lot so far on this show about practice, and there is where the practice of being present and paying attention pays off in really concrete, helpful, useful, specific ways.
Yeah.
Because what you're meant to be is so distracted by whatever, that message comes through, you just get the message, you know you're not going to cry because that proves you're stupid, and then there you're launched into whatever. And as you indicate, you know, with your insides doing God knows what, as you try to depress your emotions, try to pretend that you don't feel what you feel, so that you can meet this artificial standard of how you should be that came from we don't know where.
Yeah.
It's astounding, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, the thing about it that, it said you can't cry over him because only stupid people cry about celebrities.
Yeah.
And what that does to us then is keep us from questioning, yeah, but why am I really crying? Because
yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that he's a celebrity. The only thing celebrity has to do with is I wouldn't know he existed if he weren't famous.
Yeah. Right?
If he didn't make movies. I mean, sure, it's true. There are young people, old people, all kinds of people, all over the world dying today.
Yeah.
And we don't know that. But if we did, if we knew the circumstances of their death, if we knew who they were in life, and something about them and what they did and what they cared about, and we would be sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the real message is, don't care.
Yeah.
Mhm. It's stupid to care.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I suspect we share this. I don't want to live in a world, I don't want to be a person who doesn't care, because that would make me stupid.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's big, huh?
Yeah, it was all very interesting, because I just realized that I've been doing this not crying thing for years, and it's like every time I have cried, there's been something that's told me, don't cry, and for some reason I have carried on crying, but
yeah, good.
And I've always put it down as the voice of reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then to hear it and think, huh, perhaps the voice of reason doesn't call people stupid.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something else going on here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, that's big.
Yeah.
Years ago, a woman came to see me. Back years ago, I worked with people individually, and she came to see me, and the reason, the motivation was that somebody very close to her died, and she couldn't cry, and she realized that there was something really big going on with her. So when she was going through life and not being upset or, you know, not crying, not being emotional about anything, she was getting messages that this was good. You know, she's the right person. This is how you should be, in that same sort of way. You know, immature people, stupid people, whatever it is, get emotional about stuff. The right people are logical and rational and even-keeled and all of that sort of thing. And then somebody she loved deeply died, and she couldn't feel any emotion. And she said to herself, "Wow, something's not right here."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we don't. We just don't want to be that kind of person.
No.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you too.
Thank you for that. That's really big.
Yeah, it was just like something I wanted to discuss, really.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you did. Glad you're paying attention over there.
Yes.
All right. Good night.
I'll phone again some other time about this feedback thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Anytime you've had just way too much sleep and you want to get up in the middle of the night and talk to people on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank
you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
That's Poppy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we're going to have a break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Jenna from Seattle. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, it's kind of a funny little connection, but I can.
Oh, good. Well, let me know if you can't hear me.
Okay. What's
going on? I guess I'm just calling in for a little bit of support.
That's good.
Yeah, I am a student, and I found that I've been a student for a long time, and I will be a student for a much longer time as well. And I've observed over the years that I have this conditioned response to the stress of school, and even though my awareness has become greater over the years, I still have a physiological response, and it kind of escalates and like throughout the quarter. And it gets to a point where I feel very stuck, and I have a hard time getting out of the stuckness. Like, I feel very paralyzed, almost like a karmic cement mixer, I think someone once said, and I think that's a very close way of how I feel.
Uh-huh. So where do you feel it in your body?
It's a rising energy, like a rising anxiety, I guess, and it starts from my center and it comes up.
Okay, and so center is?
Center as in, like, my solar plexus.
In your solar plexus.
Yeah.
And so it starts there, and it feels like?
Like this rising of energy, and it goes to my throat.
Uh-huh.
And then it feeds the conversation, and then the conversation gets out of hand, and then the conversation spills into like all areas of my life. So it's like it like boils up, and then it overflows, and then I get stuck in the moment of how to deal with it, I guess.
Okay, so there's the energy,
mm-hmm.
and you feel it pretty much in your solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is, so what's the first conversation that takes off from there? Does it mean there's something wrong?
Yeah, usually.
Okay, there's something wrong, and something's going to happen?
Yes. I have become better at recognizing that. And
I guess we've lost Jenna.
Oh, no.
We'll take the next caller.
Hello.
Hi, this is Gregory.
Hi, Gregory.
Hi.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, what's going on, Gregory?
During homework time every day, a voice keeps telling me that I can't do this. This is too hard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, do you believe it?
A little bit.
Yeah. Even though, have you done homework before?
Yeah.
And have you been successful?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, still, when the voice comes in, it makes it sound like, yeah, but this is different.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You were successful with that other, but this is too hard. You're not going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so it sounds like you hear the voice pretty clearly.
Yeah.
And do you ever ask the voice how it knows that?
I haven't before.
I'm going to ask you to try that, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So when the voice comes in and says, this is too hard, you can't do this, yeah?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, just turn to the voice and say, how do you know that?
Okay.
Yeah, and you ask it like you really want to know, you know?
Okay.
How do you know that? Because, you don't have any evidence of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if somebody said, the world is going to end in 15 minutes, I think you would probably want to know, how do you know that? What makes you think that? What evidence do you have that that's true? Or are you just making that up? Are you just saying that?
Yeah.
So it's from that kind of a, okay, well, now you're telling me this. I want to know what kind of authority you are, that you seem to know me really well, and you seem to know what I can and can't do, in spite of the fact that I have always been successful with this in the past, and you seem to be able to predict the future. So I would just like to know how you do that.
Okay,
and then you'll call me back and tell us what the answer is, okay?
Okay.
All right, very good. Okay. Another little homework assignment.
What?
Huh?
What did you say?
It's like another homework assignment.
Okay.
So only this one, we hope, is a little more fun than most.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Gregory. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're back.
Oh, good.
Jenna, you're back on the air.
Okay. Are you
Hello, back? I'm back.
Okay, good. Where were we? So there are the sensations, and they're giving you information that there's something wrong, and there's a problem, and something awful is going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. And then you, it sounds like, or I'm projecting, get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You join in.
Yeah, it's like I can fend them off for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then it gets me.
Yeah. So for a while, you try to kind of tense up against it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Maybe kind of look the other way, or do you ever talk back to it?
Yes. It becomes a huge conversation, like it's dueling almost.
Uh-huh. So it's all going to go south, and you say, no, it's not. It's going to be fine.
Exactly.
You can't do this. Yes, I can.
Yes, exactly.
So we're on a little theme here. When you were away, were you able to hear the conversation with Gregory?
Yes, some of it.
Yeah. So it's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody comes in and says, this is too hard. You can't do this. And so I'm going to give you the same homework assignment since you're a student too, okay?
Okay.
And that is to ask that person, that voice, engaged in that conversation with you, how it knows that what it's saying is true.
Okay.
Because, again, it is very parallel. You have been successful.
Right.
Isn't that true?
Yes, partially.
Well, now, how long have you been going to school?
Oh, geez, this is probably my eighth year.
Okay, and this is past high school?
Yes.
Okay, and you have taken classes?
Mm-hmm.
And you've passed them?
Yes.
And you've learned stuff?
Yes.
And have your grades been relatively good?
Yes, and I think I'm more talking like survival versus thriving. Like, so far it's been survival, and I'd rather it be thriving.
Yes, but my point is, you've already survived.
Right.
So that's not actually an issue, is it?
No.
No. You don't sound as convinced as I want you to be. In other words, like when my daughter was going to college, you know, she would, for an exam, she would study for like 1,500 hours, you know?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. And finally, you know, we started having conversations like, how do you know that you need to study that much in order to get an A? What if you could study 1,400 hours? And so, okay, so it's not like the question is, can I do this? The question is, how little stress can I bring to this?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a very important distinction, isn't it?
Yeah, I completely agree.
So you know that you do not need any stress at all to be successful. You know how to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
The stress is, there's the cake, and then there's the icing, and then somebody's going to put horseradish on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
True?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that is completely unnecessary, adds nothing of value to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that's very good. Then you have a different situation, don't you? Because
yeah.
what you get to learn to do is sit still through it. Have you ever spent any time studying Dr. Martin Luther King or Mahatma Gandhi or those kinds of folks?
I'm familiar with bits and pieces.
Okay. Well, now would be a really good time, actually.
Okay.
Because I think what you need to become an expert in is nonviolent protest.
Okay.
All right? So when that starts up, what you're going to do is just sit and breathe and relax.
Okay.
Turn all of your attention to your solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
You can do things like, I don't know if we've ever talked about this or you've heard me talk about it with anybody, but you can imagine a clenched yellow fist in your solar plexus. Okay? It's painted bright yellow. And as you breathe, the fist just gently begins to open until there it is, completely open, the palm is lying flat. Okay, then you'll notice that it clenches back up again, and you'll breathe and feel it opening. And what you will not do, actually,
mm-hmm.
is get into a conversation about anything.
Okay.
What do you think?
That sounds good. Then I could have my cake and eat it too.
And no horseradish.
No horseradish, right.
Okay, and then you'll let us know.
I will.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sherry. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jenna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I had a laugh with that cake story there, Sherry.
It's great. We have all these people, homework assignments, and people are calling back in, and it's good.
Yes, it is good.
It's like it's such a sangha experience.
Yes.
You know, going through a lifetime of practice together, and coming up against different situations, different times in life, different, you know, this is going on, the voices are saying this, or I'm feeling this, or this is happening, or this is what's happening in my family, or, you know, whatever it is, and we get together and we talk about it, and we come up with a way to practice with it that enables us to step back, step clear of it, have some freedom, some distance, and then we go on. Very good.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we have about 4 minutes, and we have one more caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Diane from California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Well, I've got parts of both the people who just spoke before going on, and I listened to the archives of a show you did a couple weeks ago where you were talking about just the sophistication of the way the critic or the ego gets us, and here's my situation.
Okay.
For years and years, I've wanted to have a child,
uh-huh.
and when I move towards having a child, I get really afraid.
Uh-huh.
And spend a lot of time trying to work through that, and do I really getting into sort of ambivalence and all? And then, when it looks like I might not be able to because of my age or my fertility, I go into this sort of bereft despair that I've blown it and I won't be able to do it. And I flip back and forth between those two.
Yep.
And
perfect, isn't it?
It's perfect.
And I suffer over here,
and I suffer over here. Right.
Yep.
And I see it and I get it, but I don't seem like what just happened, for example, was I missed a period for a month. I went through a period where I thought it's over. I'm in menopause. It's all over. And I suffered. And then as soon as, you know, I get my period and then I'm ready to go and start again and try and get pregnant, the terror comes up. And the voices say, just like with Gregory, I can't do this. You know, I can't do this. I'm single. I can't do it. And so I wondered if you had any insights about when you're
Probably done this, but I'm going to, well, there are a couple of things I want to ask you about. One is, how are you with regret?
Big time regret.
Big time regret. Okay.
I do it well.
Okay, that's good. Then here's what you can know. Whatever you choose, you'll regret it.
Right.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So the first place that we really ought to be working is on regret.
Uh-huh.
Because otherwise, as long as you are willing to indulge regret, you can't win.
Right.
You have a child, you get to your deathbed and regret the fact that you didn't, you know, travel around the world or follow some whatever it is, or, you know, the child will be a disappointment, and why did I waste my life on that when I could have...
I think it's a little more the fear with having the child is that I'll lose my mind. And, you know, when you were talking with Gregory about, you asked the voice, how do you know, what evidence do you have? I actually, you know, have had some really big times of fear and anxiety around the prospect of getting pregnant. And so it tells me, remember that other time? You know, so it's not so much that I think I'll regret having it, but that I'm afraid I can't handle it.
Which will be a form of regretting having it.
Oh, I see.
In other words, you will go to, oh, my God, this is the wrong decision.
I see.
As long as you're willing to believe you can make a wrong decision, all of your decisions will be wrong decisions.
Mm-hmm. So any one-minute or quick tips about when you say working on the regret, or, yeah, like I am still willing to believe that I can make a decision, and so do you have any idea, homework
yes.
about...
Yes, so you have to stop that. Okay, and
right.
and that's the short story about that is there's only one universe. That's why it's named that. Okay, there is no parallel reality in which something else happens. This is it. This is the only one. So you have a child or you don't have a child. There's no imaginary reality in which there's no parallel reality in which whatever you have, you don't have. You with me?
Yeah.
So that's just a mind game that has one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to make you suffer.
Okay, so thinking it could have been different is a mind game.
That's right. Now, we have to talk again.
Okay.
Are you busy next week?
I'm not. I will call you back.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Diane. You've been listening to another great edition of Open Air.
I'm telling you, we know the most interesting people on the planet, don't we?
I'm telling you. They call here.
They call here. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.